Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. It's hard to believe it's already mid-October, October 18th and 19th, and for my running and walking friends, if you're listening to this show on the morning of October 19th, you know that we have the 10-mile road race out of NHGI campus, runs by Delta Dental, and that, of course, raises money for the Boys and Girls Club of Concord. A great race, great distance, 10 miles, and then 10 miles. And then later in the day, we have the Breast Cancer Walk. We have a great team at Northeast Delta Dental that will be walking with me. And please come down to Memorial Field at 11 a.m. And it's very, very inspirational. You can, in fact, register on the fly. We've had some great shows recently, including featuring the Granite State Games with my friend Pat Mulcahy. In June of 2015, we'll be bringing the Granite State Games, which are in effect the Junior Olympics for 9th through 11th graders. And Pat's done a great job of getting the games to come here in June of 2015. And the venue will be Southern New Hampshire University and Derryfield School. And last week, of course, we featured Donna Wilbur to talk about the Breast Cancer Walk, which is happening this weekend. The great thing about this show, in addition to allowing me to feature the importance of oral health, is I get to promote prominent people in the community, as well as organizations such as the Breast Cancer Walk. And this weekend, October 18th and 19th, with me this weekend is Henry Glickel, who is an author. I'll introduce him in a moment. Henry, thank you for joining me in mid-October. I'm sure you have a lot better things to do than hang out with Mr. Tom Raffio, but I very much appreciate your being here with me this weekend.
Tom, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Now, Henry, for everybody, he is an author, and we'll get into that later, but Henry is currently the manager of talent acquisition and employee retention for by appointment only. In his 15 years of recruiting, Henry has successfully filled over 900 searches in area of sales, accounting, finance, information technology, human resources, client services, etc. In 2012, Henry was named the H. Michael Boyd Excellence in Employment for the Association of Employment Professionals. And for those people in the field, that is a pretty prominent recognition. So I congratulate you, Henry, on that. And then this year, Henry has published a book, or is about to publish a book, called The Power of Proactive Recruiting. And also being an author, that's basically how we connected. As most everybody knows, I wrote a book with Dave Cowens, a famous basketball player, called There Are No Do-Overs. And Henry was kind enough to purchase a couple of copies, and then he and I connected, and I had a conversation with him. And very, very interesting guy, and this is going to be a terrific show. So our topic today is employee engagement. So Henry, tell us a little bit more about your background, and then I'll get right into what you have found now since the 2008 recession, how it's evolved. But tell us a little bit more about yourself.
I've been in recruiting for about 18 years. Started off at a recruiting firm that specialized in sales, and then I've been a corporate recruiter the last about 9.5 years. I've enjoyed it. Seen some ups and downs, and I've seen some real changes in the ways companies attract and keep talent, which prompted the writing of the book.
That's great. Now, the book is called The Power of Proactive Recruiting, and of course, you are a certified employee retention specialist. So having spent about 18 months of my life and with many weekends with Dave Cowens, I know that writing a book can be both exhilarating but also a struggle. So what possessed you to want to put all of your knowledge in a book, which I've read and it's quite good?
Well, you know, it's interesting as over the years, you learn so many things, and you start taking notes, and somebody says, wow, that's really good. That should be in a book. And of course I go, I don't have the time to write a book. So I started with an article, and then an article became two articles. And then things started to flesh out as themes. And then the book kind of naturally took a life of its own. And I mean, it took almost 2 years to really, what I would say, get the first real serious draft of it. It's amazing how it was very large, and then kind of you had to edit it down. But it was a really good exercise in putting down your experience and the lessons that you learned that you could share with others. And that was the most important thing about the book.
And I commend you in getting it to about 150 pages or so. That was the best advice I got for my book. My original manuscript had about 300 pages, and what I was told by my publisher, Sherry, Pendleton Press, was that these days people want to get, you gotta tell your story within like 125 to 150 pages. And when you sent me a copy of your book, I said, oh my God, it's perfect. You know, you get to the conclusion around page 142. Henry, if someone wanted to purchase the book, how would they do that?
Well, currently it's available on lulu.com, and if you look up The Power of Proactive Recruiting, you can find it. It will be on Amazon shortly, and by December there'll be an audio book also available on and if you look to the website, it'll be announcing that. And the website is The Power of Proactive Recruiting.
Perfect. And if someone wants to get a hold of you, not necessarily for the book, but maybe for the book, they can get you at henry@salesrecruiters.com.
Or at henry@baoinc.com, either address.
Perfect. Okay. So I mentioned the 2008 recession, and I know in my own business that I don't believe that employers fully recovered. I know that we have many, many employers that still have Northeast Delta Dental, but maybe they had 100 employees before, and now they have 80. And even though maybe they're doing quite well, they've been reluctant to hire back the 20 people. So I think the recession is a constant reality that, you know, it's a changing time, and maybe, in fact, there's a new norm. So in your book, you said that because of that, maybe managers are starting to cut quarters and filling vacant positions. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, finding a good fit for your vacant position should be an involved process. It requires a lot of time and commitment to kind of make sure you end up with a win-win situation for both you and the hire. You want to make sure that the relationship's going to be mutually beneficial and therefore productive. And what's good about what a good hire is all about, it's about a relationship that rewards you for taking the time to determine your need, search, interview, evaluate, onboard, and retain, just to mention a few of the steps involved in intricate process to fill a vacant position, and rewards the new hire for their effort for your company. What's happening today is that hiring managers don't invest the time and the money in all those steps. And it could have been because over the last 5 years, they haven't had to. So they think they can get away with kind of moving faster. They cut corners along the way. And they may end up with a body in the position, or so they think, there. I've done the job. We filled the position. But it's not necessarily the right body or the right fit. The new hire lasts a few months, maybe a year. But it's not as productive as someone who really suits the position. And you can end up back at square one, having to start the search all over again.
And as I say in my book, you'd rather have nobody than the wrong person. So I know that with things like LinkedIn and a number of online stuff, I mean, are employers going that direction? Are they using recruiters like yourself less? Or what do you see as the potential, the evolution of how employers are finding potential candidates?
That's a great question. I think today, a lot of companies rely on website postings and job boards and social media, even Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. And in this economy, some companies are bombarded by resumes, but they're not necessarily the right resumes. Plus, someone has to weed through all of those. in the book, I talk about really the importance of networking and relationships that you build over time, which is really where you want to help find potential candidates. The best candidates aren't out there looking for your job. They're already employed somewhere else. And they're not going to, and you're not going to find them with traditional methods. Yes, you can use recruiters, and I wouldn't say recruiters are a last resort, but if you don't have the time or the effort or inclination, then in reality, recruiters offer a very valuable asset. I will tell you, probably one of the most valuable assets in identifying people is referrals. People that are already working at your company already know good people. And people, they already know your culture, and they're more inclined to find people who can fit, and they take great pride in bringing those people to you. Companies that really open up and develop good referral programs, I have found to be very successful.
Now, Henry, let's now say you have a good nucleus of candidates. Let's say you have one position. Let's say it's IT. And let's say you have five candidates. How does an employer most optimally prepare for the interview? Do you recommend group interviews? Do you recommend tests, et cetera? Why don't you get into that?
Well, there's good things and bad things about group interviews. I always say it's hard to get five people to agree on anything. I mean, it's hard to get them to agree what to put on a pizza. Now you're going to get them to kind of agree on who they're going to hire. So I really strongly advise against group interviews, because the people I have found that get through group interviews are the people that don't offend anybody, but they're not necessarily your best candidates. Also, your best candidates and many times aren't your best interviewees or interviewers. So there are assessments that are out there. There's many of them that are out there. Just make sure they're validated and they're relevant, and they find the skill sets, traits, attributes, and behaviors that are important to you. So assessments are good. Group interviews, you can. I strongly recommend no more than three people interviewing an individual at a time.
Now, you mentioned, and I agree with you, that the best candidates are probably, you know, robustly employed already, and that's why they're the best candidates. Although, you know, with really since the economy tanking in 2008, the wonderful resumes that passed my desk are amazing. So I know that there are also people that would be very good employees who are not currently employed or they're underemployed. But do you find, if you've been recruited, you've recruited a candidate, that the candidates themselves now have higher expectations of the employer, and what is, and in terms of not necessarily being demanding on benefits, but I do think candidates want to know the culture of the company and so forth.
Absolutely. Think of a candidate that is a passive candidate. They're not looking. Their resumes are not posted actively online. They're not out there telling people they're looking for a new job, but they're open to it. And one of the most important things that you can, in the process of recruiting an individual, whether it's yourself or an outside agency or a contract recruiter, is to find out what we call the career wound. And a career wound is a reason that somebody's leaving. What I have found is individuals who have career wounds, unfortunately, if it's just money, then it's hard to attract them. You need to find career wounds, that deal with the corporate culture, that deal with things like commute, benefits, flexibility, support, recognition, management style, and the relationship with their manager. What you'll find out is money many times ends up at sixth or seventh on the list, but you need to find those other reasons why they leave or they want to leave. And that's before you start selling or talking about your job or company, is to find out what's important to them. Because it's what's important to them, not what's important to you.
Perfect. In the minute or so we have before commercial break, why don't you give me a thumbnail sketch of you've been at this for over 15 years. What has been the major difference between 15 years ago and today? And give us the contact information for you, both yourself and the book.
Okay. The difference between 15 years ago and today is 15 years ago, a website. You could buy a web address or domain name, and a website really was a brochure. And it allowed you to print less. Instead of sending brochures, you'd send them to your website. Let's fast forward in 15 years. In 15 years, a website is only one of probably seven things that a company needs to be cognizant of. You have Twitter accounts, Facebook, LinkedIn, and all other methods of social media. So you have more medians to get out, or more avenues or agendas to get out to individuals, and it's harder to find them.
And that really is reflective of your culture. We'll get into more in that. Henry, just give us your contact information and the book information, and then I'll go to break.
Sure. It's Henry Glickle. Email is henry@baoinc.com. And the book is The Power of Proactive Recruiting. And the website is thepowerofproactiverecruiting.com or powerofproactiverecruiting.com.
Tom Raphael will return with Henry Glickle after a commercial break. Please stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Lisa, your Delta Dental Benefits rep. Any questions today?
How long should I brush my teeth for?
2 minutes.
Why should I visit the dentist?
Professional preventative care promotes good oral health.
What's the most popular color of toothbrush?
Blue.
She's good.
As the most experienced dental benefits company, Delta Dental delivers unmatched local service, so enrollees feel taken care of every time.
Visit Northeast Delta Dental at nedelta.com.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raphael for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And again, for my running friends, October 19th, if you listen to this, run over to literally to NHCI, and there's a 10-mile road race. And then later on in the morning, you can still do it. I've done this at 11 o'clock to Memorial Field. Then you can do the breast cancer walk. And a quick update on the Affordable Care Act. It's been about a year and a half, a month, and the public exchange now has been worked out, and we have close to 2,000 dental lives purchased on the public exchange called healthcare.gov. And today's topic is on employee engagement, and I do write about that a little bit in my book called There Are No Do-Overs. And speaking of books, with me is Henry Glickle, who is the author of the book. And Henry, why don't you tell us about your book and where we can purchase that?
Sure. The book is The Power of Proactive Recruiting. It's about a 150-page book that basically goes over the do's and don'ts, the steps, the pitfalls, things to learn from during the interview, onboarding, sourcing, recruiting, and retaining your employees.
And for those of you that have read my book, Henry's book, and I've read it, is kind of like a handbook like my book. I mean, it has about 10 chapters. It'll give you the legal perspective. How do you evaluate success, for example, is two of the chapter headings. One of them is do your homework. So let's get into some nuts and bolts. What are the reasonable expectations that employers should have about potential candidates, and perhaps vice versa?
Well, one thing that's important to realize is that good candidates are not necessarily good interviews, and vice versa. An interview is an opportunity to extract information necessary to determine the viability of a candidate. So if you ask the right questions to get thoughtful, non-rehearsed answers, you get a good picture of the candidate. What you want to determine is, can the candidate do the job? Will the candidate do the job? And what's the cost to hire this candidate? At the same time, it's reasonable to expect a candidate to give an accurate picture of their skills, capabilities, and the employer to give an accurate picture of the job. Obviously, everyone's putting their best foot forward, but you should expect to get a truthful perspective of each other. It's a two-way discussion and conversation.
Like it. Now, of course, I know this is questions on everybody's mind. Obviously, you're trying to find out as much information as you can about the candidate. We have an expression, I actually reference it in my book, and really Jim Collins said this, if you'd rather have nobody than the wrong person. So you're trying to find out as much as you can about the candidate. But I know that from a legal perspective, and you have a chapter, the legal perspective, there must be quote-unquote politically correct questions that you can't ask and maybe others that you can't. Can you amplify that a tad?
A lot of time when people ask questions, they don't necessarily ask them to violate the law. They're really just trying to gain or gauge or get information to give them an indication of whether the person could do the job. But many times they do it in a way that is illegal. So it's probably easier to stay away from, and there's a detailed list in the book of the questions not to ask. But basically, you want to avoid anything having to do with age, sex, marital status, family, race, religion, sexual orientation. For example, the politically correct question would be, are there any commitments or responsibilities that would hinder you with work attendance requirements? But what is absolutely not correct is, how old are your children? Are you or do you plan to become pregnant? Or what is your child care arrangements? In reality, those are questions that you're really not eliciting. You're eliciting the same answer, but you're not asking a question to get the correct information, and you're asking it in the wrong way.
And you have a whole chapter on that, chapter four, so I encourage people to get the book. Now, employers, when they finally hire someone, it's the onboarding process. It's very expensive, first of all, to hire an employee, and then the training. So I know that I think you can comment on this, and you talk about it in the book. What happens when, in effect, the right candidate goes wrong?
You know, it happens a lot more than people think. These mishires, or what we call failed hire. A failed hire should be unlikely if you've invested the time in all the stages involved in the hiring process, but it can happen. Don't just accept it and start over. Take the time to evaluate and figure out what went wrong. Start at the beginning. Does your job description convey the key responsibilities as well as the goals of the position? Or is it a laundry list of experience and skills that you hope to see? Did you exhaust the pool of qualified candidates, or did you simply make the open position available to those actively seeking employment versus those people we spoke to who are or spoke of before, the passive candidates, the people you go after who are readily employed?
So you want to evaluate your process to see maybe we may have had a flaw in, as the employer, and didn't identify the correct candidate. So evaluate the process. And I know you write that in a book. Let's role play a minute. If you were trying to, so a company has made a decision to hire a recruiter, and you're trying to get a CEO for another company. So if you were trying to recruit me, by the way, I'm very happy at Northeast Delta Dental. So if my board is listening, but this is just role play. How would you try to make a determination whether, you know, I was a candidate or not?
I think one of the most important things to do is, instead of me calling up and telling Tom what a great opportunity that my company offers him, until I know what makes Tom tick and what motivates Tom and what decision-making process Tom makes in his career, it's not a good position to just pick up the phone and call and just regurgitate the job and the job descriptions. What I would do is as a recruiter or an individual trying to recruit Tom, if I was the owner of that healthcare company, is I would look at Tom's profile on LinkedIn and other places, read his book. And when I contact Tom, I find out things about him, like how long he stayed at positions, which basically LinkedIn is an online resume. And what I do is, during my conversation with him, I notice why, at what times he makes decisions to make a move, and where does he make a move. So what you're doing is you're proactively, instead of saying, Tom, hey, I got this great job that pays more money than the one you have now, how would you like to consider it? And Tom's going to say no. Until I've identified why Tom is looking at making a move, it suits us to find out about Tom.
So you get to know the potential candidate. And then if you've exhausted that, and you know in this case that the candidate is not interested in leaving, you're not going to waste the time of the other employer that you're working for.
Well, And keep in mind, I may keep in touch with Tom. So when the right opportunity comes up, based on what Tom's requirements are for his next career move, absolutely, I'll keep in touch with Tom. But that opportunity that I may have at that moment may not be the right one for Tom. Of course, I'll ask Tom, who else does he know? What groups does he belong to? I'll observe what groups and associations he belongs to, because more likely I may find that candidate in those circles.
So in, can you give me 30 seconds on when is it time for a company to consider a recruiter? In other words, there's some positions maybe the human resources professional can do without a recruiter, but when is the key moment where the aha moment that the employer says, you know, I need Henry Glickle to get on this engagement?
Great question. I think there's probably 4 points that you could make on this. One, you want to broaden your search for qualified candidates, including those who are happily at work producing for somebody else. Two, your current employees are feeling overworked and you're seeing a lack of productivity and in turn revenue. Three, you find yourself with applicants who are unprepared or just not a good fit and they're wasting your time. And finally, you know where the good candidates are, but you're not comfortable calling your competitors or those companies and recruiting the employees out from underneath them.
Great answer. In 15 seconds, give us your contact information and where to buy the book.
ThePowerOfProactiveRecruiting.com. All the information's there.
Very good. Tom Raphael will return next week with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Thank you.